Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and yes, we're coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Worldwide toll-free, 1-800-610-7035. Email xzone at xzoneradiotv.com on MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv at hotmail.com, and our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. My guest this hour is James O'Conn. We're going to be talking to James about his new book entitled The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. And James is an author, lecturer, and award-winning structural engineer. He has explored more than 50 remote Maya sites and researched Maya technology, technological accomplishments for more than 40 years, combining his talents as a forensic engineer and an evidence gleaned from his archaeological investigation. James lifts the veil of mystery from the lost technology of the Maya. And James, welcome to the X Zone. How are you, sir?
I'm doing right fine, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your interest in the Maya.
The interest in the Maya grew out of my interest in history as a teenager and grew into a hobby. I'm going to take a sip. Then an avocation when I spent time in Mexico in the 60s, almost a year, and visited Maya sites where I felt a kinship with the Maya engineers and started considering how these incredibly bright people built their brand cities and built the infrastructure for these beautiful places. And it grew into a situation where I made some discoveries, pointed them out to archaeology. They said, impossible. They couldn't have done it. They were Stone Age people. Well, that one way for the quest for the truth. And the culmination is the book.
And the book is entitled Exonation, The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. James' website is www.theoldexplorer.com, and his book is available on Amazon.com. James, why do you think so many people now are showing a sudden interest in the Mayan and the Maya technology as well as the Maya civilization? Do you think the hype around the end of the Mayan calendar, 2012, December 21st, 2012, has something to do with it?
Yes, it does, and you know, we have films. Indiana Jones' last movie was about the Maya, and we've had a tremendous increase, and not we, but Mexico has had a tremendous increase in tourism to Maya sites over the last 20 years, and it just keeps increasing. And I find it to be astounding that they expect 57 million people there this year, and I think that they usually get about 30, but this year is the big deal because, as you said, there's a lot of mutual hype around the December 21st date.
All right, James, stand by. You and I have to take our first commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Exxon Nation, James Ocon is our special guest. We're talking to James this hour about his book, The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. Here's a couple of websites, www.theoldexplorer.com. That's www.theoldexplorer.com, and his book is available on Amazon.com. 1-800-610-7035, worldwide toll free. Email exxon@exxonradiotv.com. And don't forget, this coming May 25th to the 27th, I will be at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road in Mississauga, where the Body, Soul, Spirit Expo is going to be held. And it's going to be a great event. If you're in the Toronto area, please drop by and say hi. Now, for further information, www.bodysoulspiritexpo.com. This is the X Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. And James Ocon and I will be back on the other side of this 2 minute commercial break to talk about his book, The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. My name is Rob McConnell. This is the X Zone. Don't go away. And welcome back, everyone. James Ocon is our special guest this hour. We're talking about James's book, The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology, and it's available on Amazon.com. Now, the Maya civilization was the longest in history, James. Let's see, what was it, 3,000 years? The Maya had a long time to contemplate the cosmos, the universe. They were farmers, they were astronomers, and they were great cosmic philosophers. Now, how did this assist them in developing their scientific civilization?
You took away my best line, the cosmos. They developed their belief system in their fascination with time and space. And time and space to them was all contained in the cosmos. And in the nightly light show they had, through a transparent, clear sky, they saw, you know, the movement of planets, the rotation of our planet, the stars, and started studying them and being obsessed by them. Of course, as one generation passed to another, they had to start counting the cycles, the days and years between different periodicities of planets and stars and rotations, and that made that enabled them to start a writing and mathematical system that kept track of the time and named the stars and just wrote about the cosmos. This developed their astronomy, their mathematics, and their writing system, which was, by the way, one of the five original writing systems in the world.
Now, we also know that the Maya realized that the Earth was not the center of the universe 500 years prior to Galileo finding this out.
Absolutely. They knew that when the ships which landed with the Columbus were all afraid of falling off the edge of the Earth, but the Maya, which had already passed away, the civilization had passed 600 years before, but they knew that the Earth was round.
Right. So, why were the Maya so intelligent?
Well, I think they were just a cultural system that happened, and this is part of the luck system, happened to study the stars and the movement, and that went into the counting and their writing, etc. That developed a hierarchy of people who could understand those scientific elements that they were developing, and they developed an intellectual class, an elite society, etc. And it developed in, as all human societies do, into a class system, where you had these really bright people that were selected, like NFL players or for guys for NASA. They all were headed in that direction all their life, and they developed a society that had an elite system that worked on the sciences. And out of this came their technology. They figured they needed some better place to work and live, so they built these cities that were, through their technology, made of cast-in-place concrete with tools that were harder than steel and water management systems that saved them during the dry season, roads that cut all the way straight as an arrow, paved 30 feet wide right through the jungle from one city-state to another. They were city-states rather than an empire, and that's one of the things that kept them going for 3,000 years, because there was not one big city to control, but 50 cities that relied on each other for trade and for their culture and for a lot of political interface. That was a 3,000-year stretch right there, but that is what kept them in an intellectual state where they could use their cognitive intelligence and develop all these thoughts.
So, without outside influence from other cultures, James, how did the Maya evolve their scientific civilization?
Well, it started with the stars. Everything you need to start a science is in counting, naming the stars, and this astrology, and the projections of time through astronomy. I said astrology, I was wrong. Backwards in time, and then cycling, picking a time and cycling them forward. They believed in linear time like we do, and cyclic time, where they would go back in time, select the date for a perfect future event, like a war, coronation, celebration, and cycle forward. That's how we got the 2012 date. That was evolved in cycling back and forward until they found the right date for.
Now, you know, I've been down to Mexico myself, and I've done quite a bit of research on the Maya, and nowhere, talking to any of the Maya, talking to any of these different high schools of learning, including the government officials, do they state anywhere that the end of the world is going to be happening on December the 21st, 2012? So where did this myth come from?
Well, the myth around December 21st is really a myth started by modern doomsday predictors. That is the end of this era of the Maya calendar. It's 13 baktuns, which is about, it's 5,126 years and 123 days. Most people don't know that. But they developed that as part of the precession of the Earth, which is 25,600 years. The Maya divided into five parts and took each one, which is the 5,126 years of change, and set a start of the creation and the end of the creation. And so the Baktun 13.0.0.0 will be on December 21st, which happens to be a famous day around the world. That's where we got Christmas. That's the winter of solstice, Hanukkah. Everything you could think of were all developed around the winter solstice. So they picked the winter solstice, which is the time when the sun is, you know, vertically at the zenith, and set that up as a great day to end, have a big new year, because the next day was 00001, mm-hmm. which was a new time era.
Were they,
that's the Maya look at it.
Were they aware of, at the time, that this was also going to be the date of the galactic alignment?
They picked that date. A lot of scholars think this, and I'll give you the thought process. The galactic alignment is when the dark rift in our galaxy and the Milky Way, it aligns with the sun at the zenith. And it's like if you drew a line along the black dark rift.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And then aligned it with the sun and some planets, you've got a cross, which is like the earth tree of the Maya. And that happens many, many times throughout the 5,000-year history. But it also happens several times in this period. We're talking about 2012. And they found a date when it would swing back and forth right at the 21st of December and got that was the date. They picked a date that would end on a holiday, which was the solstice, and they were brilliant astronomers. So yeah, they were doing this at around the year zero in our calendar, around the time of Christ's birth, at a town called Ixtapa. So that's as logical a case as I can. It's logical to me because mm-hmm. they were great astronomers, but they picked a date that would be on a holiday. At the end of their era, the creation era.
Now, Jim, because archaeologists consider the Maya to be a stone-aged people, how did this label affect your studies?
Well, that was one of the elements that really drove me into this quest. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely sure the Maya had invented cement, tools harder than steel, incredible methods of transportation without a beast of burden, and I knew that these people who had one of the first five original languages, written languages, and history, couldn't be Stone Age just because they didn't have metal tools. Although they could do amazing things, they had amazing cities and unbelievable art and architecture. Archaeologists were falling back on the three-age system of stone and bronze and iron that was developed in the early 18th century in a museum in Denmark. And the Maya got nailed with this category because they were the last civilization to be discovered. It was 1839. Well, everybody knew they were there, but that was the first time that John Lloyd Stevens and Kathy Wood, who I know you wrote about, came into the area and viewed these cities and made drawings and wrote amazing descriptions and became, well, actually, they changed the history of the world. They found there was another civilization that was encapsulated. When it failed in the 9th century, nobody ever reoccupied the cities. They were never invaded by other people, so they were like they're in a time capsule. And we being the archaeologist. Now, I'm not an archaeologist. I'm an engineer. I'm an archaeo-engineer. Could not find any metal tools. Okay, they found gold, which was traded from different areas, but there's no real metal in the, and I'm talking about the hard metals, in the Maya zone. They have to go 1,500 miles away to find iron. So they didn't see any metal, so they had to be Stone Age. In the book, I talk, in chapter 4, I talk about many other descriptions of civilizations which don't involve stone or metal tools, but have all the factors that the Maya developed, the cities, the languages, the writing, etc. And I am on a campaign to get rid of that appendage or appellage, Stone Age.
All right, stand by, Jim. You and I have to take our news break at the bottom of the hour. Exonation. James O'Conn is our special guest. James O'Conn, his website, www.theoldexplorer.com. Or his book can be found on Amazon.com, and the name of the book is The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. That's The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology is available at Amazon.com. I'll be back on the other side of the news with James O'Conn as the X-Zone continues with yours truly, Rob McConnell. Don't go away. You're listening to the X-Zone Radio Show, live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network.
X-Zone Broadcast Network.
UK High Definition Radio.
Euro High Definition Radio.
And Star Cable. Our toll-free telephone number worldwide is 1-800-610-7035.
Our email address, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com.
On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com.
And our website,
www.xzoneradiotv.com. Worldwide email xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, on MSN Messenger xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com, and our website www.xzoneradiotv.com. And you can listen 724-365 at www.xzbn.net/live/htm. My guest this hour, Exonation, is James A. O'Conn, and we're talking about James's book, The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. It's a great book. It's got fantastic photos in it. And James, what was your most startling find as an archaeo-engineer investigating the Mayan civilization and Maya technology?
I would place my number one discovery or forensic discovery on the fact that the Maya invented how to make or fabricate cement. Mm-hmm. 300 years before Christ, and the Europeans discovered the method in 1851. Well, that's when it was patented anyway. The Romans did use cement, but it was all natural cement that came from volcanic sources. So they didn't have to develop a method, but the Maya developed this incredible wood timber cylinder that would make 20 feet in diameter and about 10, 12 feet high out of wood that would be burned with a cylinder down the middle. It would be, I'd call it the fire cylinder. And they would develop this and put limestone on top. Now, when limestone gets to 1400 to 1600 degrees Celsius, it melts. And when it melts, it becomes cement. And they developed what I term, and that is what it is, a thermodynamic reactor, which had a fire in the center, which lowered the temperature as the fire got hotter, and these shafts on the at the ground level that drew in fresh, oxygen-rich, cold air that combined with the interior fire and made the fire hotter, and it would recycle and got hotter and hotter until they would develop a temperature that was required to melt the limestone. And this was I've made models of this, and pictures are in the book. They're only 1/20 scale, but I had fire shooting. Well, their furnaces, which they still use occasionally. Nobody ever found these until they discovered pictures from, you know, Chichen Itza when they were consolidating the site. And all the cement they used there was made from this kind of process. And this tongue of flame would shoot in the air 150 feet, 50 meters. And mine only did 6 or 8 meters, but it's amazing. It's like at the end of Indiana Jones. Remember that tongue of fire going up from the ark?
Yeah.
That's my most impressive, discovery. Because, hey, I got the pictures of how they did it. I got the pictures of after the fire. They burned the fire for like 36 hours. It would last that long. They'd use green wood or wood that was been soaked in water and develop material that was cement. And we, in the book, I have tests. It was done by the University of Mexico. I lucked up upon some really great guys down there, some professors. And they ran tests on them, and it was like 97% similar to modern Portland cement.
Why do you think, James, that everybody looks at the Egyptians or the Incas as the great mysteries, and yet in my book, the Maya, you know, I'm sorry, they have so much to offer, and they have offered and given so much to modern technology.
It's true, but they didn't have the PR that the Egyptians had. Egyptians had the Greeks and the Romans and everybody who occupied their country to write and think and tell about their culture, their inventions, and everything else. And likewise, the Incas. When the conquistadors hit the shores of America, the Maya had already been, you know, collapsed 600 years. So when the Pizarro came in and massacred all the Incas and stole all the gold, he had a bunch of guys with him that wrote Chronicles of the King. They talked about everything, you know, the building systems, the language, the how they built bridges, how they the Inca roads stretched 14,000 miles. It was unbelievable. They had PR. I mean, they had books. Thornton Wilder wrote The Bridge of San Luis Rey, right? And I have that in the book, too. I said, better PR than anybody in the Inca, Maya world ever had. When the Spanish hit, they never even saw the lost cities in the jungle. They didn't care about them. They were covered up with, you know, jungle plants and trees and vines. And the Maya were just, they'd been over the 600-year period. They'd fallen from the great scientific society into a more farming community. They did have literate people that could read the books and copy the books that were burned by the Spanish, but they didn't have the great sciences and the great cities. But that's history. You know, they didn't have anybody write their history because the Spanish burned the books.
Yeah, the Spanish weren't very nice to the Maya. You know, there are stories that are in the Mayan history of the Spanish as well as the Columbus explorers abusing them to a point where the Mayas were taking their own lives and their lives of their children so that they wouldn't have to go through the torture that they were being subjected to.
The Inquisition was tough on the Mayas.
Yeah.
And I'll just use that because everybody has heard of it, but it lasted for 600 years, and the goal of the priest, backed up by the army, was to convert the Maya and destroy their culture, their ancient culture.
Yeah, it's like if it's not my way, it's no one's way.
That's right. Either, you know, become Catholic mm-hmm. or you know, you're dead. You know, you just went into the... they had a test. If you really believed in... and they threw you in a pond, and if you floated, mm-hmm. you believe you sank and drowned, then you were not a non-believer.
One hell of a way to prove that you're a believer or a non-believer, right?
But that's the PR.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody writing about him until John Lloyd Stevens came along and wrote a book about his adventures, and that was a worldwide bestseller. Unbelievable.
Tell me, what was the hardest part about writing your book?
The hardest part was, and that's a good question. I knew it had to be about technology. Mm-hmm. Of the Maya, and I knew I wanted to get into the elements. You know, my gods that I wrote about were thermodynamics, physics, mm-hmm. chemistry, structural mechanics, and hydraulics. We all know these gods. We live with them every day. You know, your automobile engine is based on this. So I went in with that in mind, but I didn't want to write a strictly archaeological book that would be only for the, you know, the ivory towers mm-hmm. and the higher and dried systems. I wanted to write a book that was readable. So I interjected in the book, and I didn't know at the time, I injected anecdotes about being captured by Guatemalan guerrillas or slipping through Zapatista lines or, lots of stuff like that. And actually, some of the critics have said I didn't put enough in. That's the best part of the book. So I blended technology, mm-hmm. Maya history, and I'm the first person I think that I read.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
That, in Chapter 3, I actually tried to figure out how the Maya became so smart. Like, first question you asked, 3,000 years, they had lots of time, and they had the cosmos as their model, mm-hmm. and they came forward, and they had a tremendous, you know, scientific civilization. So I had to combine these three things, you know, something that will keep people interested, the real truth, and I had to have pictures, photographs, and illustrations, which I did myself. Never do that. Never write a book where you're writing and drawing illustrations. And the text that had to be very readable, because I wanted this to be a book for the people, not
right.
just, you know, somebody that's really, really deep into hieroglyphics or into some other. I don't even hardly touch on it, those things in the book. I just describe what they did. That was the hardest part of blending those things into 12 chapters, mm-hmm. where at the beginning I talk about where they came from. At the very end, they're dying, you know, laying on their super highways, the Sacbés, with no water and no food because the worst drought in 7,500 years has struck, and there was no way out. And technology, which had built the Maya civilization and enabled a civilization, population of mm-hmm. 18 million, collapsed and failed them because the water supplies ran out. The agriculture did not work without water, et cetera, et cetera. And you read in the book how many technological features failed them, and they were. So we they all died off. And one of my reviewers, who was a well-known archaeologist at the end, said, "Bummer." He just wrote down, and can we have a happier ending than that? So I wrote the epilogue. But anyway, that was, I got input from a poor famous archaeologist on the reviews. They were based, I got good reviews, and I wanted to blend in technology and the truth about the Maya.
Tell me, what was the reaction of some archaeologists to your technical options or your technical opinions?
The thing that really got me was they would write, and this is, I'll take the four guys that actually had a chance to write on the manuscript. I didn't know that. Comes like that. That's interesting. I learned more about draft animals than I've ever learned before because I was talking about Dubai and the advantage of not having draft animals. And they were really great comments. And they never commented once about the history or I didn't get anywhere into the belief system. You know, I didn't talk about ritual or kings or matriarchy or anything like that. I kept it all to, you know, engineering type stuff, that how they built it and how they maintained it and what was left when it was quote discovered. So that was the hard part, it worked. It really worked. Oh, I blended in those stories about adventures, which I didn't want. Adventure, as I say in the book, adventure is something, starts with something, doing something stupid, you know? So that's how I did it. And that was the hardest part, is blending in the three elements.
So can we safely say that there's now scientific proof that the Maya were a technologically advanced society?
Yes, and what impresses me is the reviews are using that very phrase, technologically advanced, because they see the cement and they see they use tools harder than iron. The water systems were tremendously advanced. A series of underground cisterns that collected water during the rainy season, so it could be used by the cities and by you know, everybody during the dry seasons and on and on. And their boats, they had a trade system. Now, I really tout the trade system because they lived off trade. I mean, they traded north into Mexico. That's north of about 1,500 miles. And they had these big boats. They were like giant canoes, but they were built with all the technology of modern marine vessels. And the best witness we have for those is Christopher Columbus himself. In his fourth voyage, he boarded a Maya sailing vessel at sea and took off his best treasure, which was cotton, by the way, at the time, because Europe didn't have cotton like the Maya grew and wove. And he described the boat and everything else, and I use it in the book to recreate a Mayan canoe, along with an expert that I worked with. So people who read it believe it because I tell how it was done. I tell how the system was built and operated. I show drawings, and then I show a photograph. And when you do that, you don't have any more questions about, well, show me something else, you know. Well, nobody's asked a question like that yet. I'm really pleased that I satisfied the reader because I've got comments from the reviewers say he illustrates clearly the miracle of the Maya.
All right, and stand by, Jim. You and I have to take our final break. Exo Nation, James O'Conn is our special guest. He's the author of The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. That's The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. It's available at Amazon.com. And for more information on James, visit his website at www.theoldexplorer.com. And James and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break as we continue here in the X-Zone from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. My name is Rob McConnell. Don't go away.
Something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back, X-Zone Nation. James Ocon is our special guest, and the name of his book is The Last Secrets of Maya Technology. It's available at Barnes & Noble, and if you'd like to get more information on James's website, it's www.theoldexplorer.com. So tell me, James, what's the next step into the investigation into the secrets of the Maya?
I think that's a good question. Since I finished the book a year ago, and it's taken a year to go through the publishing process and everything else. And my next, I think I'm going to go more into detail about the life of the Maya and how they lived. And I don't mean social life. I mean the day-by-day stuff about lighting systems and ventilation and some structures, some cities are built out of brick, et cetera. And I'd like to further pursue the navigation system, and which was incredible, it was based on the stars, and their lighthouse system, which traversed the coast, and of course they went all the way down to Antigua, which is like a 3,000-kilometer route. So I'm working on that very slowly because we released 2 weeks ago, so my time's been full, so and I'm enjoying it, by the way. So it's not a complaint.
Tell me, Jim. Let me ask you this question as somebody who's gone deep into the Maya, their secrets, their culture, their technology. What do you think, or how do you feel the doomsday prophesiers are going to feel on December the 22nd, 2012?
They're going to be few and far in between. Have you noticed it's dropping off?
Yep.
I mean the guys that are leading the thing, I could name some, are sort of like talking about it's not doomsday anymore. It's like the age of Aquarius, or it's a change in the in the style of life of the world. It's a new era, and it sounds more like the Flower Children of the 70s than it does, you know, one of the. I've read some of your documentation about the failed end of the world prophecies,
yes.
Okay, which we've all gone through a bunch of them. I think they're going to be disappointed. They're going to bond it like the rest of us. Only 4 shopping days to Christmas.
James, I want to thank you ever so much for joining us. Congratulations on a great book. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. Much success to you in the future. And please come back and visit us again here in the X-Zone.
I'm always glad to visit Canada.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself. And once again, congratulations on a great book. X-Zone Nation, James Ocon has been my guest to this hour. And he's the author of The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. Now, it's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. And for more information on James himself, www.theoldexplorer.com. Don't forget, May 25th to 27th, I'll be at the Body, Soul, Spirit Expo, 6900 Airport Road. That's the International Center, right across from Pearson International Airport. For more information, wow, they've got a great venue this year. Hats off to you, Chandler. Visit www.bodysoulspiritexpo.com. That's www.bodysoulspiritexpo.com. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news as the X-Zone continues from our studios in beautiful Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Send an email to me anytime. Love hearing from you. X-Zone@XZoneRadioTV.com. My name is Rob McConnell. We'll be back after the news. Don't go away.